Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week in more than 112 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the secret guide to health when we come back. You know, in 1787, the writers of our Constitution put in this clause at Article 1, Section 10. It says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin, a tender in payment of debt." Now, that clause follows the biblical injunction on just weights and balances that we see in Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. Now, private business is carried on in gold and silver coin. It's public business that is conducted in commercial paper. Commercial paper, things like stocks and bonds and Federal Reserve notes and credit cards and debt and usury. Back in 1965, our Congress said that there's no difference in the value of gold and silver coin and clad coin, or of currency. And you know that's very true when you're dealing with banks and government and commercial industries, but out here in the real marketplace, there's a 7-to-1 difference in the purchasing power of gold over paper. And there's a 7-to-1 difference in the taxes that are due on that paper money over gold. Now, our God and our founding fathers did not give us gold and silver coin for no good reason. These authorities knew that as a matter of law, gold and silver coin are absolutely necessary for us to deal in order for us to establish our property rights. Well, neither did our Congress and our politicians take our gold and silver coin away from us for no good reason either. These politicians knew, and they knew full well when they did it back in 1933, that in order to subjugate a free people, they would first have to take away the people's gold and silver coin, to take away the people's right to property, and to destroy those property rights. And they did. Now, if you and I intend to regain our rights, duties, and capacities, then we must first regain our property and our property rights. And that's because property is the legal foundation for all of our liberties. So let me show you how to do just that. That's in our business school, which is now on compact disc for adult homeschool. Now, if you'd like more information about our private business school, why don't you call and order the free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational. And it's free of charge. And all you have to do is call and ask for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about The Secret Guide to Health, put out by a fellow named Wayne Green. Did my heart good to read the book. It's only 240 pages or so. I don't know what the price is. I didn't get a price. This copy was given to me by a student. He said, "Hey, read this." And every once in a while, you know, a student passes something on to me, And so I pick it up and I read it and I said, "Wow, you know, this guy's really got his head screwed on straight." And that's a real anomaly here in modern 20th or 21st century America. Now, he's been exposing a bunch of things. So in the last 3 or 4 programs, I said, "Did you know this? Did you know that?" And let's take a little consideration here. And when he's given us a few eye-openers here. Well, there's an eye-opener here on a thing called AIDS. You know, AIDS and Alzheimer's disease. These are new terms, new words. You know, when I was a kid, the word AIDS wasn't in our lexicon at all. Alzheimer's disease wasn't around. Now, polio, yeah, pneumonia, sure. smallpox, TB, you know, those are the buzzwords in health and disease. There's a prophecy in the Bible where the creator of the universe himself says, I am going to lay diseases on you that you've never heard of. And so here we are in 21st century America, and we've got diseases that have been laid on us that we had never heard of before. This is brand new. So if you want to know where these new diseases like Ebola and AIDS and Alzheimer's, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, muscular dystrophy, I mean, you know, terms that we'd never heard of before. If you want to know where they come from our Creator himself, live and direct. And they are punishments. Disease is a punishment. The idea that you just caught cold, the idea that you just accidentally got sick over here is a nullity. It's not true. It didn't happen that way. I mean, you may believe it. You know, you believe in Barney and Big Bird. You know, I don't deny that. But then that doesn't make Barney and Big Bird real. You know, they're fairy tales. It's a fantasy. So these fairy tales that we believe in, and, you know, they're just as real as life. You know, religion is a fantasy. Just pure and simple. It's just a fantasy. Has little or nothing to do with the Bible, has little or nothing to do with the creator of the universe. It has little or nothing to do with reality. It's an escape mechanism is what it is. Evolution is a religion. It's an escape mechanism. We don't understand what's going on around us, and then we have to have some way to escape from the realities that are coming down on us, like the Great Tribulation that we're beginning to get a feel for, like the Great Depression that's coming upon us, like the collapse of our economy and the housing market and the wars that are going on. You have to have some kind of an escape mechanism. So for many people, it's drugs. So they take cocaine or heroin or morphine or something, you know. Or hell, they go to their local drug dealer, you know, the family physician, and say, hey, listen, I can't cope with life. I've got to have some Valium or something. So I mentioned the other day, I said, hell, all of these illegal street drugs are available from the legal source. I mean, hell, you can get it down here at your local Rexall store. You just need a prescription. It comes from your drug dealer, the local family physician. Hell, he'll get it for you. No, money's money. It costs six times more to get it through Rexall than it does down on the street corner. But then, you know, that's if you prefer having legal drugs to illegal, you know, that's your choice in life. So, let's take a look here at the big, dirty secret. Big? Does $15 billion register as big with you? Because that's what George Bush put on the table at the June European G8 summit meeting in Evian to fight AIDS. So, let's see. That's about $60 per American taxpayer. And that would be a worthwhile gesture if you didn't know that AIDS can be cured swiftly and inexpensively. Two ways. Now, that's a pretty revolutionary statement, because AIDS is a death sentence. 25 million people that have developed this new disease, this AIDS, since 1980, are now dead. 25 million. 40 million people in the world have AIDS. 25 million people have died so far. And it's growing. It's getting worse. It's spreading around the world. And it's called incurable. You cannot cure AIDS. Well, hell, can you name one disease that modern allopathic medicine can cure? Now, come on, let's come up with some names here. There are, in the physician's desk reference, they got 435 diseases. You know, like Parkinson's disease. Can allopathic medicine cure Parkinson's? No. Well, that's what they tell you. No, we can't. Can allopathic medicine cure heart attack or stroke? No. No, we can't do that. Cancer? No. Muscular dystrophy? No. Well, then can they cure the common cold? And they tell you no. No, we can't cure the common cold. I can't for the life of me understand why we would want to go to an allopathic family medical doctor. I can't cure anything. And he tells you that. Have you got a cure for this? And he says, no, we don't have any cures for this, but we do have treatments. And the American people line up. We cannot get enough of our doctors. Just can't get enough. Little Joey has an earache. We go rush him to the pediatrician. You know, little Sally has a sore throat. We'd take her right to the pediatrician. And then, what does this doctor pediatrician do? They give them a shot of antibiotics. Listen, if little Bobby has a cold, antibiotics are of no value whatsoever. You know it, I know it, and everybody else does. So why in hell do you want to spend $25 or $50 on a shot of penicillin for something that you know as well as the doctor isn't going to do any good? Now, you do that, and you do it every single time. And you know it's of no value. You know it's wrong. You know it doesn't do any good. But you still do that. Now, we call ourselves intelligent. We know, we look at dolphins and we say, wow, look how intelligent that dolphin is. You know, dolphins, you know, are just dumb animals with some specially built-in intelligence-looking factoids that amaze us. You know, they jump out of the water and catch fish. And wow, that's pretty good, you know. You got a dog over here. Hey, that's really an intelligent dog. He can roll over and he can go fetch a stick and, you know, it's okay, so he's got some intelligence over here. But, you know, human beings invent 747s. You know, and human beings, you know, build tall buildings, you know, like the Empire State Building and the Suez Canal. Human beings are, on a comparison with any of the animals in the world, on a level and on a scale that justifies description. There isn't even a comparison. You can take the smartest animal you can think of, compare that to a human being, and that poor dumb brute just doesn't have a prayer of even coming close. Now, human beings, as smart as they are just dumb as rocks, you know, over most things. Most things that, you know, years ago we used to have a pretty good grip on, a pretty good handle on, like health. For instance, back at the turn of the century, 3% of people got cancer in this country. That was 3% too many. Shouldn't be any. It should be zero. Should be zip. But 3% were getting cancer. So somebody came along and said, hey, this is unacceptable. We've got to do something about that. So we've got to get medical science cooking on this cancer problem so we can solve it. Today, the cancer rate is 50%. It's not 3%, it's 50%. See, 3% means that out of 100 people, 3 people are going to get cancer, 97 people are going to live their lives, and are going to die from something other than cancer. They're not going to get cancer. All right, that's 3%. 50% is half the people are going to get cancer. Half. That's one out of every two. Take 100 people, 50 of them are going to get cancer. Now, by 2020, they tell us it's going to be 100%. Now, here comes your president along, and he says, let's take a disease here called AIDS. We're going to put $15 billion on the counter over here, and we're going to cure AIDS. Excuse me, boys and girls, has it dawned on you yet that you're suffering from the terminal stupids, that the minute that government gets involved in this program here, you not only aren't going to find a cure to AIDS, it's going to cost you a lot of money in the process. Boys and girls, you don't need to spend a dime to fail to discover the cure to AIDS. It doesn't cost anything. Just leave it alone. Now, if you want to exacerbate the AIDS problem, I mean, if you want to make it worse, if you don't think that 40 million people in the world having AIDS is bad enough, give the government $15 billion to spend on the problem, and I'm sure we can double it to 80. And with a little more work, we can go from 80 to 160 million a year that, you know, that have AIDS. And that's where we're headed, because every single time the government gets involved in these programs, it gets worse. Name one, just name one government interference that has benefited anybody. Send me an email, would you? Send me a letter. Tell me. When government gets involved in something, they make it worse. A whole lot worse. Now, the cancer at 3% was bad. I don't deny that. The other day I mentioned, you know, 6,000 people a year dying from drug, you know, illegal drugs like cocaine and crack and marijuana and so on. That's bad. I don't deny it. But my God, 130,000 dying is 20 times worse. And that's caused by government. So your government involved in drugs kills 20 times more people than just leaving people alone. They can kill themselves all by themselves without a whole lot of help. And they will. You know, people smoke and they kill themselves. And if government were not involved in the tobacco industry, or they were not involved in tobacco at all, people would be killing themselves with tobacco. There's just no two ways about it. But I'm not sure that it would be killing any more, and it wouldn't cost us a whole lot. In fact, it wouldn't cost anything. I mentioned the other day that government's spending $19 billion a year on these illegal drugs over here. They'll spend a dime on trying to protect us from legal drugs. And that's where the problem is. Now, listen to this. Now, you know, well, you know this unless you're a New Essay reader or have Alzheimer's. The number one, the way number one, is the easiest and least expensive. Now, this is the cure for AIDS. With our good friend, Mr. Electricity, find a May 1996 issue of 73 and see for yourself. Okay. Let me recap. Back in 1989, two scientists at one of the most prestigious research hospitals in the world accidentally discovered that when they passed a minute electric current through the blood, that while this didn't bother the blood cells, it did prevent any pathogens in the blood from replicating, thus killing them. Pathogens like any virus, microbe, yeast infection, fungus, or parasite like HIV, malaria, Lyme's disease, and so on. Now, I'll pause right here. There's a second little thingy over here that this man doesn't mention. See, I didn't know about this electric shock. That's news to me. But I did know about ultraviolet light. Ultraviolet light does the same thing. Ultraviolet light, that's the stuff that comes from the sun. And when you hang your clothes out on the clothesline, the disease, you know, the microbes, the virus, the bacteria is killed by the sunlight, the ultraviolet rays of the sun. So years ago, they discovered that you can do this artificially. And so they discovered that by using a fluorescent tube inside of a box, if they take your blood out of one arm and run it through this ultraviolet light over here, it kills the pathogens that are in it, and they put it back in your other arm over here, and they can cure these diseases like AIDS that way. Now, here's a second way to do this. So maybe there's three ways. This guy says he's got two. I just thought I'd pass that one on. I'd heard that years ago. Now, this is technology. This is intelligence. This isn't something that your dog or a chimpanzee or a dolphin does. This is something that humans do with the intelligence to make 747s. So, you know, when we're sitting around here talking about, oh, and this goes on every night on the 6 o'clock news with Katie Kirk, I don't know how that woman can keep a straight face. That woman's no dummy. That woman, you know, Katie Couric, nice lady that she is. I mean, that lady's a very intelligent, very knowledgeable lady. And she just plays as dumb as a box, dumb as a doorknob when she's talking to, you know, the health correspondent, and she just asks, you know, oh, what are we going to do? Oh, thank God, you know. But, oh, we just pray that modern medicine will be able to cure us. Hell, modern medicine's your problem. It's not your solution, it's your problem. And it's money. Nothing more, nothing less. The reason that you don't have any cures out of the physician's desk reference, 435 diseases listed, the reason you don't have any cures for any of those diseases, there's no money in curing you, dummy. Wake up. The minute you're cured from AIDS, the money tree shuts off. Just like a lawyer, you know, the minute the trouble ends, there's no money. Lawyers, you know, work behind the scenes to keep Bill and Sally in the divorce court so that they can cut themselves in for a third of the estate. That's what happens when somebody dies, you know. That's the reason they want you to have a will. Who wants you to get a will? The lawyers. With a will, they can cut themselves in for a third. Without a will, they can't. All right, so I just want to point out that money is typically at the bottom of all of this. So George Bush comes along. He says, well, we're going to spend $15 billion. And that, by the way, that was real generous of him to go out there and tell all these AIDS people out here, George Gordon's going to kick in $60, and we're going to solve your AIDS problem. God, I just love these politicians, the way they spend my money. They just run out here and say, hey, we're just going to blow this money. It was down in New Orleans, you know, and the president went down there, and he says, well, we're going to spend $500 billion down here and rebuild New Orleans. I never got a letter from George asking me if I thought that was a good idea. You know, if 15 billion bucks is going to cost me 60, how much is 500 billion bucks going to cost me? And I guess we take 500 and we divide that by 15 times 60 ought to be in the number. Huh? And that's $1,999. So George is going to spend $60 for AIDS. Thank you. And in 2000, rebuilding New Orleans. Now, if you ask me, George, would you send $2,000 to New Orleans to the rebuilding fund? I'd say, hell no. I wouldn't send 35 cents to New Orleans to build Jack Diddley squat. Somebody's going to write me a letter and say, my God, you're insensitive. You know, you just wait until that happens to you. And listen, boys and girls, when that happens to me, I'll rebuild my own house. That's the way that'll come down. If you're waiting for FEMA and George Bush to come rebuild your house, you know, you got your head up the wrong end again. Now, he goes on, he says, now, you don't have to be a PhD to understand this. It makes just good common sense. The blood cells are made in the bones, not by replication in the bloodstream. So the electric current doesn't bother them. Everything else gets zapped. Knowing that they had a way to eliminate a major source of revenue for doctors if their discovery was made public, the scientists quietly applied in 1990 for a patent on the process of removing the blood from an AIDS patient, passing the electric current through it, and then returning the blood itself. It's a dialysis-like procedure. They did not publish any papers on this discovery. The patent application, presumably accompanied with proof that it worked, was rushed through the patent office, and the patent issued in 1992. Now, that was more than 10 years ago. Is there the slightest question in your mind that the AMA, the FDA, NIH, and WHO, now that's the American Medical Association, the Food and Drug Administration, the National Institutes of Health, and the World Health Organization, and other health authorities weren't aware of this amazing breakthrough? These agencies, which all seem to be tightly in the pocket of the AMA and major drug makers and supported by the insurance industry, have kept quiet. Now I know somebody's going to write me a letter and they're going to say, well, why would they do that? People, they kind of act like they're just incredulous. Like, why would they do that? Okay, listen up. Here's why they would do that. When Dr. Richard Eby, a well-known medical leader, went to the AMA and asked the AMA why they had not done any research on primitive societies where the people have no cancer. And he was told by the AMA's chief counsel. Chief counsel, that means their top lawyer. The AMA, top lawyer, said, if this Dr. Eby had read the bylaws of the AMA charter, he'd know, dummy. And that the bylaws of the AMA charter, the purpose of it, is to protect the income of its members. And since their biggest income was from cancer patients, if ever a cure for cancer was found, this could eliminate their main income. So the AMA would make sure that no cancer cure was ever found or allowed to be recognized in America, period. All right, now let's wake up here. You're not going to have any cures. Hell, you've been at this for 100 years and you don't have any cures yet. Now, if in all this time you don't have any cures, one or two things should be pretty obvious. Number one, looking for a cure for a disease is a waste of time, effort, and energy because it cannot be done. Okay? So then that ought to tell you, well, let's not spend any more money looking for a cure to AIDS or cancer or anything else because it cannot be done. All right, that's number one. Number two, it can be done, but we're not going to publish it or use it because it's going to disrupt our income flow, which is the truth. That's the way it is. In which case, we don't need to spend any money looking for cures to disease because even after we find them, we're not going to use them. So the whole concept of spending money marching on cancer, you know, damn near every night on the local news, there'll be some charitable organization that's asking you to donate money or march on this or join this group and, you know, make rag dolls for Jilly or, you know, something going on. So that they can fight mumps or measles or whatever the hell they're arguing about, whatever the hell they're trying to sell. I don't send a dime to any of them. What the hell's the purpose? George Bush is going to spend $60 of your money and my money on the AIDS fight, whether we like it or not. He's going to send $2,000 from you, God love you, and me and everybody else down in New Orleans to rebuild a city 30 feet below sea level. Now, you know, I'm an old man, and I just don't see the logic in building a city below sea level. Boys and girls, if that place can flood once, it can flood twice. The only logical solution for New Orleans is to move the damn thing to higher ground. Wake up! Pay attention! Now, if the people that live down there want to spend their money building their houses below sea level, I'm all in favor of that. I'm not telling you people down in New Orleans that I'm going to pass some law and prohibit you from building your house below sea level. Hell, if that's what you want to do, get after it. Just don't take my money to do it. You know, if you people want to donate your money to cancer research and AIDS and one thing, I don't care. But get your damn hand out of my pocket. That's my point. Pure and simple. Now, this guy, Wayne Green, comes along and he writes a book and he says, let me tell you about this dirty, dirty secret over here. Well, it makes me feel good, Mr. Green. That there's two of us in the country that take a look around and say, oh my God, this is insane. Just common sense. Now, the people down on the Gulf Coast, they like to live down there on the Gulf Coast. It's a hell of a neat place. I don't deny it. I live in a neat place. This is called Tornado Alley. I live, you know, when people come here, sometimes they're very apprehensive. You know, people from California come in here and they go, oh my God, you have tornadoes here. Yes, sir, we do. In fact, I had a guy in here yesterday. I'm building a tornado shelter over here below a trailer house that I've got over here, and we don't have any shelter for that trailer house and the occupants of it, the occupancy, the people that live there. So what I did was I dug a big hole in the ground, and then I'm going to put one of those big shipping containers, you know, that you buy. You see these trains going by with these shipping containers. I'm going to bury one in the ground right below that trailer so that, you know, if there's a tornado comes through here, the people in the... Because house trailers attract tornadoes. I don't know if you knew that or not, but they're like magnets. If you build a trailer park in Oklahoma City, you can rest assured that a tornado will be attracted right to it. And so, just common sense here where I live, that you have tornado shelters. We have storm cellars, you know they call them here. And that we build those. It costs money to do that. And I don't deny it. I don't want to spend money building a storm cellar. I'd rather spend it on a Princess Cruise. But, you know, if I'm going to live here in Missouri, well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. You know, I used to live in California. I have earthquakes out there in California. Knock your chimneys down, one thing and another. You know, and the people from the Midwest, they go out to California and they gasp in horror and they say, oh, my God, why do you people live here? You know, well, because earthquakes don't happen very often, and when they do, they don't kill everybody. And the same thing is true here. You know, tornadoes don't happen very often, and when they do, they don't kill everybody. Kill a few, but not everybody. And so we live with them. That's what it boils down to. And people have grown up living along the Gulf Coast, and they like it there. They love it there. It's a great place to live. I don't deny that. I've been down there a couple of times. I thought it was a great place. Now, they have hurricanes down there along the Gulf Coast. They've had hurricanes there. They don't happen every year, but, you know, every once in a while you have a hurricane. And then every once in a while it blows down your house and floods the place and tears it all up and one thing and another. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not expecting you people down on the Gulf Coast to rebuild my house when a tornado comes through. Okay? Is that fair? I mean, I'm living where I live because I choose to live here. And if a tornado comes through here and rips up my house, that's my fault. I'm the proximate cause of my own injury. That's me. I did it. Did it to myself. So conversely, when a hurricane comes and knocks your house down on the Gulf Coast, don't send me a bill for $2,000 and say, oh my God, Mr. Gordon, won't you please help me? Won't you rebuild my house? Because the answer is no, I won't. When the tornado comes through here, I'll rebuild my own. And when the hurricane comes through yours, you build your own. Now, if I've got a little money left over, I might help somebody if I feel like it. And I know charity's a great thing, and I'm not opposed to charity. I have a third tithe can over here, and I practice third tithe for widows and orphans and the poor. And when somebody's house burns to the ground, and or some misfortune happens to them, you know, I'm all for charity. I'm not opposed to charity at all. God told us to be cheerful givers and don't close your hand to the needy and the poor and one thing and another. By God, I think that's a good idea. But building houses 20, 30 feet below sea level and building them on the Gulf Coast and sending me the bill for it, I think is horse pucky. Now, that's just my opinion. Okay? Let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. And the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries daily, worldwide over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, nonprofit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through our website as well at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And there's more than 1,000 of them. I don't know exactly how many, but there's more than 1,000 of them on the Internet right now. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, they're accurate, and correct, to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. So keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and editorial review, they may be hostile or political, they could be religious, economic, they could be sectarian or racial, they may be ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or the opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. We are reviewing a book called The Secret Guide to Health from a guy with some common sense, just plain common sense. I appreciated that. His name is Wayne Green, and he lives at Box 360 in Hancock, New Hampshire, 03449. Once more, that's Wayne Green, Box 360, Hancock, New Hampshire, 03449. Now, he's got a phone number, too. What I like to do is call a guy up, you know, and pester him a little bit and say, hey, what's that book going to cost? His number is 603-588-0107. Again, that's area code 603-588-0107. Dynamite, a little book, easy to read, and it's in a Reader's Digest format. I mean, just a little short story. Sometimes it's just a paragraph. And it's well documented, and he's got all these books that he cited in here. I mean, this guy's done some homework. This guy's read a lot of books. I'm not sure I've read 200 books in my lifetime. I say that a little in jest. I guess I have read 200 books in my lifetime. I'm old enough to read 200 books, but this guy's got 200 books listed here in this book. You know, if you don't believe me, he says, then here's the author of this book, and here's the documentation. This is what the guy says. So let me recommend the book. It's not a 1 in 20 or a 1 in 100. It's health, as far as health books are concerned, the health food store is just full of books like this. Full. And I don't review all the books in the health food store, and you know, many of them are really good books. So this is not one of those 1 in 20 books or 1 in 100. Hell, it's as common as pig tracks in a barnyard. But the thing that caught my eyeball was the easy reading and the common sense style. I mean, this guy's got his head screwed on straight. So, going on here with AIDS, he says, you know, you don't have to be a PhD to understand all this. It makes good common sense. The blood cells are made in the bones. And because it's made in the bones, taking your blood out and zapping those bacteria, and this is a patented process which is done by, God love them, the allopathic medical doctors. Science. This was your science dollars at work. And my God, it worked. They discovered the cure to AIDS. But by God, we're not going to use it. And that's because dying from AIDS costs about $100,000. It's a hell of a money maker. Hell of a money maker. Now, and I don't blame medical doctors for making money. I mean, hell, I'm a businessman. I can understand making money. But I don't know how in the hell you people can live with yourselves knowing that you've got a cure to AIDS, and then you're over here treating these people with these drugs, which ultimately is going to kill them, isn't going to help them. It's going to make them live a little longer. See, that's the objective here. See, if you get AIDS, you're going to die in about a year or two. By giving you this expensive therapy, they can extend that for 5, 6, 8 years, 10 years maybe. You're going to die, but you know, you'll die slower, and it'll cost a lot more money. And then when you can't afford this $100,000, then they just tap into the taxpayers. They send me the bill and say, hey, so send some money over here, and we're going to pay these scientists that keeps them off the streets and out of the pool halls. And I'm sitting there saying, come on, let's wake up. And we got a problem with cancer, let's cure it. We got a problem with AIDS, let's cure it. But hell, these people that are telling you let's cure it, they don't have any cures. And in 100 years, they haven't discovered one. None. Zero. Zip. Zilt. Hey, if you've got one, send me a letter and I'll put it on the air. Tell me the disease that allopathic medicine has cured. Treatments galore, cures none. Now, is there the slightest question in your mind that the AMA, the FDA, the NIH, and WHO, and all these other health authorities aren't aware or didn't know of this amazing breakthrough? Boys and girls, let me tell you, these people are very intelligent. We're not talking about, you know, some dog, you know, that can chase his tail. We're talking about human beings that have high IQs, have been to college with PhDs. These people are running huge organizations like the World Health Organization. They're running the American Medical Association. I mean, these are the creme de la creme. Boys and girls, these are the smartest people in our society. There's not a dummy in the bunch. Wicked and evil, by God, you can bank on that one. These people are wicked and evil beyond description. You know, I said this the other day. If I had a dog that was sick with AIDS or was debilitated and had no hope, I'd shoot it. I'd put it out of its misery. These people, they're not going to shoot you, partner. They're not going to put you out of your misery. They're going to sit by and profit off of your agony, off of your misery, while you are in great pain and anguish. Wishing that you could die, for crying out loud. They're not going to let you die. The minute you die, the money tree shuts off. They'll keep you alive by every means possible so that you can lie there and writhe in agony so that they can make profit. Boys and girls, I'm telling you, that has got to be the most wicked, evil motivation that God ever put into a human being. I can't even think of something as perverse, as just reprehensible as that. We wouldn't do that to a horse. There was a horse here some years back. I forgot now exactly. Some racehorse and won a couple of big races and then broke its leg. Well, they worked hard and they tried to save the horse. You know, that not because they felt sorry for the horse. They felt sorry because this horse is worth millions of dollars as a stud. And so they worked hard on him. Finally, it failed, and so they put it to sleep, which is the only humane thing to do. You know, if you want to be humane, you know, to people over here, there was a lady, over talking to old Doc Green the other day, and this lady had, she had cancer, and it was inoperable, and her whole face looked like a hamburger, he said, he described, I didn't see her. Her face just looked like hamburger, and she was in god-awful pain. And she wanted to die. She wanted to be put out of her misery. And so she was asking Green if he would help her with the drugs. Get some drugs so I can take these pills. And I don't know if this lady died or if she just committed suicide or what. But, you know, when people get to a point, you know, where they cannot cope. Cannot just to sit there, you know, and say, well, that's too bad. You know, we're just going to sit here and watch you die slow and easy. You know, you wouldn't do that to a dog or a cat, and you wouldn't do that to a horse, but you'd do that to a fellow human being. And hell, these medical doctors are doing it for money. They do it for money. Hell, that's the byline in the AMA charter. It's here to protect the incomes of the members. Now, how much money is involved? Well, on a recent 60 Minutes program, one woman was spending $6,000 a month for medication just to slow her AIDS progress. Not cure it. Just $6,000 a month. Let's figure that out. That's $72,000 a year for one patient. Now, you don't mess with your medical industry bonanza. In this case, her druggist was selling her a counterfeit drug. Anyway, along came Bob Beck, a longtime physicist friend of mine. He asked a simple question. Why remove the blood to purify it when you can do the same thing easier and much simpler, cheaper in the body? Bob rigged up a simple gadget to pass the needed 50 microamperes of current through the blood and get a local clinic to test it on their AIDS patients. Bob didn't want to take any chances on the electric current interfering with the heart, so they started by using one electrode on each of the patient's ankles. And the AIDS virus was gone. And then later, they tested this approach by putting the electrodes over the two arteries that came down to the wrist, and that worked just as well. So Bob started out with four 9-volt batteries, giving 36 volts, just the right voltage for the wanted current, which can be felt on a comfortable pulsing to eliminate any resistance buildup. He used a relay to reverse the current several times a second as more units were wanted. He submitted or substituted a solid-state switching circuit for the relay, thus cutting the circuit's current need. Well, he goes on. He reported this in his magazine. Now, evidently, this guy publishes a magazine called 73 Magazine. I've never seen a copy of 73 Magazine, never heard of it. Never saw it on the newsstands or anything else. Now, the reason I report this, I'm not going to read the whole article here. I just wanted to report to you that, you know, cures have been developed. There's 14 cures that I know of. And hell, I'm not very smart. I'm just a crummy plumber. But I know of 14 cures to cancer. 14. All work. You go to your local oncologist and he'll tell you, I don't know of a single one that works. That guy's a liar. He's just lying to you. As old Mark Twain would say, he's a damn liar. He knows better. It's one thing to lie to you out of ignorance. It's something else to lie to you with full knowledge that you're lying to somebody. And these doctors, they say, there's no cure to cancer. Hell, boys and girls, the FDA has been out here closing down these alternative cancer cures or clinics for the last 50 or 75 years. They're fully aware of it. Fully aware of it. And if any of them wanted to take it out and test it and try it, you know, they'd do it. Now, ESIAC was discovered by a lady named Renee Cassie. It was, you know, given, she's given the credit for it. Hell, that woman never discovered Jack Diddley Squat. It was discovered by an Indian tribe up in Canada. I don't even know what the hell the name of the Indian tribe was. They'd been using bloodroot in this cleansing formula for hundreds of years to cure cancer, the Indians up here, Native Americans in Canada. And there was a white woman that came along, and some Indian woman who was her friend suggested that that the Indians had a cure for it and cured this woman. And this woman told Renee Cassie, who happened to be a nurse. Renee Cassie then went to the medical establishment, and they shut that thing down. I mean, they had a vote in Parliament. This woman was curing cancer, and hell, they almost put her in prison. Now, the bottom line to this is that no cancer cure is going to be discovered because it's a proven moneymaker. And for us to spend our time, effort, and energy running around marching on this and marching on that and running for this and running for that is just nonsense. Just pure unadulterated nonsense. Now, if you're ignorant and you don't know and you want to march on cancer, get after it. You know, I don't care. You're not hurting me any. And if you want to spend your money marching on cancer, well, that's fine. But I'm not going to sit here and march on AIDS or march on this or that or something else. There's other AIDS cures that I've read about and heard about. So this isn't the only one. Don't think that these two, this ultraviolet light and this zapping with electricity are the only things available. And they're just two of them that all of the medical professionals know about. Hell, this one's patented, for crying out loud. Patented and then closed down. That's so that you can't do that. I mean, you know, you and I, we can't go out here and duplicate this because it's already been patented. Now, to have that kind of technology and that kind of knowledge and then run around here telling you that we need to spend $15 billion on President Bush, you know, he's sitting at the top of the pyramid. I mean, that guy's a top feeder. He knows better than that. He knows better than that. He's not only a liar, he's a damn liar. He knows that there's at least two cures to AIDS, and he knows of one of them, knows one of them has been patented. You're sitting there telling me that the CIA that briefs the president every morning at 10 o'clock doesn't know that? If the CIA does not know that the patent office has a patent for the cure of AIDS over there, then the CIA is redundant, superfluous, and needs to be replaced. It needs to be abolished. I mean, if that's a secret that I know about, if that's a secret that this guy, Wayne Green, knows about, and the CIA doesn't, and the president doesn't, those people are incompetent. They need to be replaced. Get rid of those dummies. I mean, that's just where reality's at. Come on, guys. Wake up. Smell the coffee. Now, what that tells us, then, is that our government is our enemy. And this concept of voting, let me talk to you a little about voting over here, because I see signs around that still has Ron Paul up. God love him. If I was going to vote, I'd be voting for Ron Paul. And I don't deny it. But voting for Ron Paul is an exercise in futility. I mean, hell, you might as well send $2,000 down to New Orleans and let's build houses under below sea level. If the guy was elected president, he'd be assassinated. If Barack Obama names Hillary Clinton as his running mate, you know, they call this the dream team. Have you been listening to the news? They said, God, you talk about a dream team. The Republicans are hated and vilified. Barack Obama is going to be the nominee, and he's going to name Hillary Clinton as the vice presidential running mate. Barack Obama will not live through his first term. He will be assassinated. That's just the way politics and life is. Now, the reason for this is money and power. Now, there's 535 members of Congress. Those 535 members of Congress are all top feeders. They're all feeding off the top of the food chain. Not a one of those guys is going to stand in line with a ration card. Not a one of those guys in Congress of your federal government or your state governor or your state governors are ever going to stand in line with a ration card or suffer from a Great Depression or from runaway inflation or food shortages. It ain't going to happen. Those guys are all going to be taken care of. Furthermore, those people are all smart people. You don't become, you know, state senator or state representative. You don't become mayor of New York, or you don't become the president of the United States or the senator from Massachusetts by being dumb, uninformed, ignorant. That's for truck drivers and plumbers and housewives, you know, us bottom feeders over here. Now, we don't know which end is up. I don't deny it. We probably couldn't put, you know, we probably couldn't put three numbers together and come to a conclusion. But these people, no. They all know what I'm telling you. And the thing that's criminal about it, these people are wicked and evil. They're not ignorant and dumb, uninformed. These people are just plain wicked. Just plain evil. Let me give you an example. A guy by the name of Dick Armey some years back. Now, he was a representative from Texas. And in one of these pork barrel operations, you know, that's endemic in Washington, they call these pork barrel projects over here. They got a slick little name for it. I'll think of the name here in a minute. Where they put these appropriations into a bill that has nothing to do with the subject matter of the bill. I mean, you can have a bill maybe that's designed for appropriating money for the war in Iraq, and you'll slip in one of these little writers or one of these little addendums to it, so that you can get what Dick Armey did. He got a bill passed, got a law passed to hold the pharmaceutical companies harmless. You can't sue a pharmaceutical company if you're injured or harmed by a vaccine. I don't know the bill that went through, but it was back in 2003, just before he retired, you know, just before he got out of office. So he's going to retire. And he was paid off. This is a bribe. He did not do that for Joe Sixpack or Sally Housewife. He did it for the pharmaceutical industry. He didn't do it to benefit you or to benefit me. He did it to benefit his masters, the people that pay him. The man is wicked. The man is evil. To do such a thing just is perverse beyond description. Now, that's just one example. Every single one of those guys in Washington, and then I'm going to say, you know, save for a few. I'm not sure that Ron Paul doesn't take bribes, or he does. I don't know. I'm surprised that Mr. Paul is in the Congress. If Mr. Paul was here, I'd say, Mr. Paul, do you do business with the Mafia or the Cosa Nostra? And I'm sure that he'd look at me and say, well, of course not, because I don't associate with wickedness and criminal organizations and evil. And then I would ask, sir, why are you a member of the House of Representatives? A body that is filled with wicked and evil people. Why would you want to associate with that? I mean, when I was a little kid, my grandmother would not let me play with some children in our little town because they were a bad influence upon me. It's just common knowledge. No. And Mrs. Mitchell wouldn't let the children play with this kid over here or that kid over there. Parents were concerned about. They were careful about who their children play with. We grow up to be adults, and then we go into the Congress of the United States. You want to associate with a bunch of criminals like that? You wouldn't associate with a Mafia or a Cosa Nostra guy or some loan shark out on the street. Listen, in our state, we have a loan program here. It's called Title Loans. They charge 9.9% interest per month. That's 118% interest per year. My God, there isn't a loan shark. There isn't a pawn shop. There isn't a criminal mind anywhere in the world, to my knowledge, that charges 118%. It was enacted by our legislature here in Missouri, for crying out loud. Do you, honest to God, do you believe that 118% interest per year is for the benefit of the borrowing public? Have you taken total leave of your senses? Have you lost touch with reality? It's a great boon to take advantage of the most down and out, downtrodden, poorest people in our society. I mean, anybody who goes in and pledges the title to his car, which is free and clear, and pays 118% interest, has got to be so damn desperate for money. And that's enacted by politicians, signed by our governor. Now, boys and girls, those people are wicked and evil. They're not ignorant. They're not uninformed. They're just plain rotten to the core. And you're going out and vote for those kind of people. Now, that's my take on politics. Now, there's a God in heaven. I'm fully informed and fully aware that this God in heaven, a little different guy than the average Joe Sixpack Jesus that you're thinking about. One of these days, he's going to call curtains, and he's going to, you know, bring the curtain across the stage and ring it down. And it's called the Great Tribulation. There's a moment in time. There's a period of time that's going to last for about 3.5 years here on planet Earth. And all of us, with all of our wickedness and our evil, are all going to get our comeuppance all at the same time. And I don't deny that I'm just as entitled to take my comeuppance like everybody else. But at least I'm out up front and saying, well, when I get mine, I will have deserved it. And let me tell you, when Dick Armey gets his, he will deserve it. When George Bush gets his share of punishment, he will, without a doubt, deserve it. I got to ask Mr. Paul, why don't you get the hell out of the House of Representatives? Why don't you leave that wicked, evil organization? And somebody says, well, somebody's got to get in there and straighten it out. You know, we had a guy up in Idaho, his name was Steve Sims. Honest, straightforward farmer. He's a farmer. We sent him to Washington, and let me tell you, within a year or two, you couldn't tell his vote from Frank Church. We sent him out there to replace that reprobate church, and in 2 years, you couldn't tell the difference between a church vote and a Sims vote. Sims left after one or two terms. I think that he probably felt so bad about himself, taking bribes and screwing whores that he finally just quit. I don't know what happened to Steve, but he was honest when he went there. Let me tell you, the Congress can pervert Ron Paul. The Congress could turn him into the same kind of reprobates that they are. You can rest assured that you're not going to put one good apple in a barrel of rotten apples and turn all those rotten apples into good apples. That ain't going to happen. Those rotten apples can turn Ron Paul into another rotten apple, but you're not going to turn those rotten apples into anything good. It hadn't happened yet in 220 years. What in the hell makes you think it's going to happen in the next election cycle? Huh? Now, that's where that's at. Now, let me recommend this book again, because I think it's a dynamite book. It's just filled with common sense. I mean, this guy, his name is Wayne Green. He just, I'd like to say he's a down-to-earth farmer. I don't know if he farms or not. He's a businessman. He lives out in the country. He's got a field, so he must have a few acres. His name is Wayne Green. And his phone number is 603-588-0107. Try that one again at 603-588-0107. Wayne Green, G-R-E-E-N, it's easy enough. Wayne Green, Box 360, Hancock, New Hampshire. That, you get that one again? Box 360, Hancock, New Hampshire. The zip code is 03449. That zip code again, 03449. And the book you're looking for is The Secret Guide to Health. If it's more than $50, pass it up. If it's $50 or less, it's worth all of $50. It's simple, it's obvious, it's just plain common sense. Hey, I'm out of time again. I got to remind you here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Let's see if I can find my page here. Yeah, here we are. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, nonprofit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. And that's for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.